This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Well, make it so, number one.
What?
These aren't the droids we're looking for.
In an insane world, it was the sanest choice.
Silencio, Bruno.
And my axe.
Hey, fellas. Either one of you know where the Smithsonian is? I'm here to pick up a fossil.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
Geeks out on Joy 94.9.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
Our next guests have cost us many nights of sleep. We're delighted to be blighted with their company. They are brutal, beastly, blood-curdling Swanthula and Drakmorta, the Boulay brothers. Thank you for darkening our doorway here at Geeks Out.
You are very welcome.
Thank you so
and
much
it's
for having Boulay. Us.
Oh, is that what I said? Did I say Boulay instead? Oh, see, that's the thing. I knew that.
Boulay, like a ghost. Boo.
Boulay. See, I knew that, but I was like saying, don't say bullet. Don't say bullet. Don't say bullet. It happens. I'm good at English. It turns out. Okay, so we're four episodes into the latest season, and yes, we've been following the action blow by bloody blow. Mm. For those who are late to the party, what's Dragula all about?
Well, it's a drag competition, first and foremost, but it's a drag competition that celebrates drag more in its, I would say, original form. So it's a little more adult than what people might be used to, and it's a little more punk and political and wild and, maybe something more akin that you'd see in like a crazy nightclub than what you would see on like ABC TV.
Absolutely. And it celebrates the tenets of drag, filth, horror, and glamour, and it's very much it kind of celebrates the dark side of queer culture.
I mean, I do get a bit of John Waters out of this series as well.
Oh yes.
Yeah. And it's a very inclusive experience, Dragula, as well. There's from what I hear of the discourse, there's some conversation about drag being predominantly for cis gay men and whether that should be more inclusive. You do have a trans woman and a cis woman on the show, Bitter Betty and Sigourney Beaver.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you what do you think about this conversation? Obviously you think inclusion is important, but I know, what's your stance on this?
It's not so much that inclusion is important as much as it is that, you know, in the origins of drag, all queer people could partake in the art of drag. And it's only that, you know, a certain company sort of had to, I would say, whitewash the art of drag to make it palatable to broad audiences, that it became about, hey, it's for cis men, you know, dressing up as women. And so that's just something that sort of had to be done to be like, well, I don't know if TV audiences are going to be okay with, you know, all this craziness. So let's make drag as simple and as safe and as whitewashed as it can be. And so I think that's why so many people believe that drag is for men when it is in fact not.
So this is a deliberate move away from pandering exclusively to a normative cisgender audience.
I would say yes, but I would also say that like the queer world, like we come from a world of nightlife and making, you know, creating nightlife events and producing those kind of events for years. And when you look at a nightlife experience and you look at the queer perspective is represented by tons of different type of people. You know, there are cis men, cis women, trans men and women, like non-binary people. And that's like the reality of the experience. So we wanted to create a show that celebrated all of those people that contribute to the community and reflected the community as it really is, not just a you know, thin, white, young men.
Absolutely. Now, the other big thing are monsters. You know, monsters are the name of the game here. What do you think it is about monster culture that really runs parallel with queer culture? Why do we see ourselves in monsters?
Well, I don't think there really is a monster culture per se. Until we came along, right? I don't think anyone identified as a monster before.
I like this idea, though, like monster culture.
But what I will say is maybe more what you're referring to is, why do queer people find familiarity with monsters on movies and TV, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that that is very obvious. You know, there's so much queer content in the origins of horror. When you go back to black and white movies and like the Universal Monsters, let's say, right? You mm-hmm. know, James Whale, who was an openly gay director who made those movies, a lot of those movies at least, he couldn't obviously put queer content in these movies because they were, you know, no one favored that sort of content. Yeah. And so he found ways to sort of show what the queer experience was like through these monsters. If you watch these movies with a different, you know, with a different perspective, you'll see, you know, how queer people could easily relate to these monsters who were misunderstood and hated by society and all these sorts of things.
Yeah, for sure. One thing I love about the show, as I watched it for the first time this last week, you know, binging season four, and I'm absolutely blown away by it. I hate that I didn't find this sooner. When you're judging a panel, you say that you don't judge the contestants' drag because drag is art and art is subjective. What is the criteria on which you base their work?
I think it's clearly stated as it's being judged in relation to the challenge at hand. So, for example, in the second episode, it's a Nosferatu beach party. We wanted to throw back to those beach blanket parties of the 60s and that kind of era mixed with the idea of like this, you know, creature of the night, a vampire. So we want the artists to take what they do and use those challenges as sort of like the filter that they put their art through to see how successfully they do it. And you see a huge array from like Hoso Teratoma's like aesthetic to Sigourney Beaver's aesthetic, extremely different, but they're able to adapt to the parameters of the challenge and they do it very well. And so we just judge them on like that sort of sliding scale. Can you take your art? Can you take your drag and morph it to this challenge?
Yeah. It's using your skills to rise to the occasion. It's not, you know, how do you judge someone, you know, these competitors whose art is so different? You have like really trashy, funny drag artists, and then you have really edgy, like fashionable drag artists, and it's everything in between. So you can't really have them compete against each other directly because it wouldn't make any sense. How would you judge something like that? But you can say, hey, I need you to take your skills and your style and show me a rock and roll show. How do you do that? And how successful are you at it? And so that's really what the criteria is.
Now, we actually did have the Monsters of Rock episode drop this week. There's one in every season. Like, what's the appeal?
I mean, for me, it's sort of like when I was coming out and growing up, like there were definitely places that would play like rock and industrial music, and even that was, you know, as a queer person, it wasn't about like vocal house music in the top 40. Like, it just wasn't what I was into. It wasn't my experience at all. So we kind of wanted to represent something that wasn't represented, which is like kind of like queers that are into metal and rock and like death music. And it just kind of goes right with the Dragula aesthetic.
It's also perfectly put to be a team challenge, right? So when you get down to even numbers of the competitors, it's the perfect time to make them do a team challenge and see how they do. So I feel like it's a moment that really defines who's going to continue on in the competition. It's like a make it or break moment for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Have you ever had Rob Zombie come up and be like, hey, same name?
No.
That needs to happen. It seriously needs to happen.
If you say.
Jack and I have differences of opinions about Rob Zombie. I like Rob Zombie quite a bit.
Yeah, he does seem very divisive. Now, I've been told some folks call you the Boule Mothers. Do you feel this is accurate? And if so, have you ever been tempted to devour your young?
Oh, you beat us to that's what I like to say. That's my response to like, do you guys have any like drag daughters or drag children? And I'm like, absolutely not. They try to suck your life and your power. Like, we're far too focused on what we're creating, and we choose to devour our young.
Yeah, I've actually never heard that before. I didn't know that anyone referred to us in that way.
I kind of like it, honestly, but not in a way that we actually have drag children. I think that like our energy, even though we're dark and all of these challenges are, you know, twisted machinations from our own imagination, we are caring. Like, we do kind of nurture our competitors even beyond the show. Like, you know, years later, we still have pretty good relationships with a lot of the people that have been on previous seasons.
And some who keep coming back.
They sure do. Well, that's something that that's part of, you know, we're fans of the people that we cast on the show. So we don't want to bring them on for a season and sort of, you know, have them have their run and then you never see them again. I'm like, we're building stars here. And just like other TV shows, why not continue to use them? Like, why build up a star and then get rid of them after that season? And might as well keep them around and see what's in another, you know, under another layer there. Because, you know, you could see how people did. The people that were on Resurrection obviously had already been on the show. And you only saw so much of them in a competition setting. But when we went to their house and we started to see what their real lives about, you saw a whole different side to them. So I think there's a lot of opportunities to see our competitors in different ways. And we're interested in doing that.
I mean, there is a real love there that has to go beyond the masochism, because one thing that surprised me more than a drag pageant slathered in blood, you have some real pants-shittingly terrifying challenges for these contestants.
Well, show business is hard. Life is hard. And, you know, if you want to get ahead, sometimes you have to do crazy things.
Okay, you've done this for 4 seasons now. Has there been a moment where you thought, oh, shit, I might have taken things too far?
I mean, every episode that happens, someone on the crew inadvertently is like, oh my God, why are you making them do? And I'm like, you know, the reason why is because everyone's scared of something different, right? Like, one person might be like, I don't care. You can give me a tattoo tomorrow. This doesn't bother me. Another person will be like, you let them jump out of a plane for free. I had to pay, you know, a couple $100 to do that. So it's like everybody has different things that scare them. So yes, every episode, someone on the crew is scared of whatever it is that episode and throws a tantrum about it.
Honestly, filming the show can sometimes be our version of an extermination challenge. Like, we go through a lot of toil, I think, to like set some of these crazy situations up.
Yeah, setting up the skydiving was harder than doing the skydiving. I'm like, all you had to do was fall out of a plane, and in fact you didn't even have to do that. You were attached to someone who just jumped. You just had to close your eyes.
See, for some people the worst terror is actually getting up on stage and performing rather than doing these horrifying challenges, being buried alive, being covered in spiders, whatever.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you that organizing the insurance and paperwork to do some of these things is much more terrifying than doing them.
So is it
a lot longer, months of it.
Is it better to die on stage or to die being chased through a forest by a madman with an axe?
That is a very weird question, but my gut tells me stage.
Well, yeah, it depends on how you were dying on stage. You didn't specify that. Does the lamp fall on you, or do you just peacefully die?
Is it like a dramatic, like a performance?
Like you kill yourself?
Yeah, like Black Swan.
If the audience doesn't react at all,
I guess if you took some slow acting pills, it would be more peaceful than getting stabbed by an axe murderer.
It is an odd question, but I don't know. I can't think of
Come
one
on, Miranda.
More
What's
fun.
With these questions?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm trying to be weird for you guys, trying to fit in. I do think that's all the time we have. Swanthula and Drakmorta, I say this from the bottom of my heart. Thank you for joining us. I'll see you in my nightmares.
Oh, thank you for having us.
Yes, it was a pleasure. We'll see you there.
Season 4 of the Boulay Brothers' Dragula is streaming now on Shudder, with new episodes dropping every Monday.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.